Good morning. I hope you all have a worship aid and one of the hymnals from one of the entrances. This weekend, Father Steve is on a well-earned vacation, and we have a visiting priest with us from Catholic Relief Services, Father Harvey Balance. And so we welcome Father Balance to our assembly today.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace and peace of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, be with you.
And also with you.
And brothers and sisters, let us begin our Holy Mass asking God for pardon. Lord Jesus, you come to us with salvation. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You remind us that this salvation is not only for us individually, but for all our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We respond to this salvation by loving our neighbors and loving you. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest,
and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer.
For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High,
Jesus Christ,
with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, be merciful to your people, fill us with your gifts, and make us always eager to serve you in faith, hope, and love. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up David, a righteous branch, And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both Jews and Gentiles into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So, Christ Jesus came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The apostles returned to Jesus and reported to him all they had done and what they had taught. He said to them, "Come by yourselves to an out-of-the-way place to rest a little." People were coming and going in great numbers, making it impossible for them to so much as eat. So Jesus and the apostles went off in a boat by themselves to a deserted place. People saw them leaving, and many got to know about it. People from all the towns hastened on foot to the place, arriving ahead of them. Upon disembarking, Jesus saw a vast crowd. He pitied them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them at great length. The Gospel of the Lord. I come to you today not just to replace Father Steve, who I admire already because I see the beautiful work he's done with you, his people, but also as a messenger from Catholic Relief Services. But first of all, our Pope has asked us this Sunday and this weekend to pray for peace in Lebanon and Gaza and the other places because the world is in a crisis that can come about to be rather disastrous if things continue the way they're going. And so I commend that to you, and I think the Holy Father is right. And we're at war with Iraq, and that's not helping anything, and we're having trouble in Afghanistan, and the Palestinians and the Israelites are, you know, warring. And the one thing that we can do in these situations is pray. Prayer is very powerful. And there's no distance with prayer. When we have other things to do, the distance makes a big difference. But with prayer, prayer has no boundaries, no borders, no walls. And so let us heed the Holy Father's offering and find maybe some special prayer today, at some point in the day, for this terrible situation, that it be turned into peace, love, and justice, which is what we are all about. Let me talk about myself because I'm a strange face. I come from New Jersey. I live in the town of Montclair with my brother. I'm a retired priest of the Archdiocese of Newark. I worked in Argentina for 18 years as a missionary. My Spanish is fluent, of course. And I was recruited to come to you with other priests from various parts of the country to talk about Catholic Relief Services at parishes where we are invited in. I'm 75 years old, and I'm delighted to be a priest. I'll be 50 years a priest next year with the grace of God. I'm suffering a little bit right now because yesterday, after I got here, my brother called me and told me that a very beloved cousin, born in my year, and we were always very much friends as well as cousins, died. And I have to find out still what the funeral arrangements are to see if I go back on Tuesday afternoon as I planned, or just go back earlier for a funeral, which may be on Tuesday. So I commend Donald, my cousin Donald, to your prayers as well. Now, the gospel is very interesting. And among the interesting things in the gospels, we have a justification for vacations. Because when Jesus says, "Let us go away to a deserted place," these men are worn out. And they come back from a trip which must have been arduous for them. They were very delighted with what happened. We don't have this so much in Mark as from the other Gospels. They were sort of surprised that it worked so well. And I mentioned the Mass last night. It's sort of the thing that happens to us when we go on a retreat or a marriage encounter weekend or a Corsillo or other things of that nature. Sometimes we're not even enthusiastic when we go. Somebody's pushing us. And then we get there and we go through the experience and it's much better than we ever anticipated. Now, if any of you have done that, it didn't turn out that great. That's an exception, because every time I've been involved with any of these things, I see the wonderful effect on the people that go. And if somebody's pushing you now to go to a retreat or a modern kind of weekend or a Corsica or something, go. You'll be pleasantly surprised. Okay. So Jesus took them off to a deserted place to give them a chance to get a little bit of rest. Of course, they didn't get it. The crowds anticipated their coming and took care of that. But at least it's the idea is they said it's good to get away. Because when we come back renewed. If we had to work 52 weeks a year, we'd reach a point at some time, possibly more than a year later, when we started this series of weeks without end, we'd reach a point where we'd break down in some way, or we'd just get so inefficient. And yet when you see people, and you know it yourselves, when you come back to work, you feel renewed, and you can tolerate that boss who's not such a good boss, or the other things that happen much more easily for a while longer. So Jesus is giving us the green light to think about vacations and to take them. Now, Catholic Relief Services, I had the ushers distribute this pamphlet. Catholic Relief Services is the agency of our United States bishops that does charity outside of the United States, although they did get involved with Katrina. And the idea is that every diocese has Catholic Charities. That takes care of our own people. It works in every diocese. It works in its own way. They have their own director and so on and so forth. But the idea is help the people in the parish, in the diocese, that need help, sometimes beyond what the parishes can do for them. And I'm not going into that any further, because you know what Catholic Charities is. But in 1943, when the war seemed to be coming to an end, our United States Catholic bishops founded Catholic Relief Services for the world outside, because they recognized that we are a very wealthy country, and there was going to be a lot of problems in Europe with displaced people. And now, in 2006, Catholic Relief Services is working in 90 countries throughout the world and is distributing millions of dollars. Most of it is our donation. So it's our agency of charity for people in Africa, Asia, and other South America and other parts of the world that need help. It has an interesting philosophy. It does not go to a place because there are Catholics there. It goes to a place because people need help. A couple of years back, it got so much food to Ethiopia that they staved off starvation there, which is a consistent problem with Ethiopia. And they've been helping with AIDS in Latin America, not AIDS, Latin America, Asia in particular. They were jumped in on the tsunami, and actually that's a very interesting thing, because they dedicated $25 million immediately when the tsunami struck in Asia. And there was certain uneasiness in Baltimore, the headquarters, because that $25 million was already destined for other causes. But we American Catholics came through. We not only gave them that $25 million so that the other causes did not suffer, we gave them more than $25 million more. More than $50 million has been gathered now, and right now they're working in Sri Lanka and India and other places to get permanent housing for the people who lost their villages. Entire villages were wiped out. One of my colleagues was preaching in my home parish in Montclair, New Jersey, and he mentioned that he went there with a group of priests to see what the tsunami was all about. And he said there was that wonderful blue sky and the wonderful blue water and this wonderful white beach. And it looked so magnificent until he remembered that white beach was a village before the tsunami. And so it's something that we can be very proud of our American church that's doing this. It's helping people in other parts of the world, because we can do it, and Jesus tells us we should do it. Catholic Relief Services is, I find, a marvelous organization, and it's an organization which has a heart. That is to say, when it moves in a new area, it doesn't go in strongly, like pushing other people aside, as sometimes government agencies tend to do. They go in and they find out first, who is working well here, and how can we support them and help them? In Guatemala, where I went a little over a year ago to see the work of the Catholic Relief Services, we visited Indian villages out in the boondocks. And there they're doing very simple things. They're controlling the pregnant women until the babies are born. They're controlling the health of babies up to 2 years of age. They're helping them with sanitary conditions, and they're helping them get water. That's an interesting thing, the water business, because there's a lot of rain in Guatemala. But for some reason, the ground is very porous. The rain goes into the ground and comes out of 100 miles away in a stream or a river. And so Catholic Relief Service is doing very basic things. But the reason I mention this is I went to the headquarters there. They have about 80 salaried employees in Guatemala, and only two are from the United States, which means that they're not replacing people, they're preparing and forming people for the work. And I think that's a great thing. I was very, very much impressed. Another thing that impresses me at the Catholic Relief Services is their overhead. The International Red Cross, which is a fine organization and does a lot of good work, has an overhead of 25%. Overhead is the salaries you pay, the warehouses and so on and so forth that you have to keep up to do the work. Well, Catholic Relief Services has managed to keep their overhead down to 6%. They're not paying those incredible CEO salaries, which are so current in the news these days. They're paying normal salaries for the people that work for them, and they're looking for a way to even to lower the overhead even more. So if you give a dollar to Catholic Relief Services, 94 cents of that gets to the actual work. That's remarkable. And it's something we should keep in mind, because we know that in some of the charities, especially after the World Trade Center, they formed a whole lot of foundations and things, and then some of the money only got to the pockets of the people who did the organizing. So I recommend to you. Now, in this brochure that you have, there's a self-addressed, a nice envelope you can send in with no postage necessary. And in that envelope, you can find a place to write your name and address down if you'd like to get on the mailing list of Catholic Relief Services. Or if you want, you can put a donation in that envelope and not sign anything. Or you can ignore the envelope entirely. It's not my business here to make a collection. It's more or less to tell you about this magnificent agency of our United States Catholic Bishops. But I'll be at the door of the church over there after Mass, and if you want to give me an envelope with money in it, or just say hello, or give a donation, I'll be very happy to receive it. So I thank you for your very kind attention. Oh, there's the website. If you're interested in knowing about the countries where Catholic Relief Service is working in the world, they have a website address here, and they have an article or a presentation every one of the 90 countries they're working in. And it really, it makes you proud to be an American Catholic, to know the work that we are doing through our bishops, through the people the Catholic Relief Service get involved with. And I thank you very much for your kind attention, and God bless you. Now we stand for our prayer of the faith. We pray for ourselves. We pray for our brothers and sisters in all places throughout the world.
For the church, that we may faithfully follow where Jesus the shepherd leads, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For world leaders, that they may find the grace and wisdom to shepherd the peoples of the world to peace and justice, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an end to hostilities in the Middle East, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are troubled and weary, that they may find rest in the Good Shepherd, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those gathered here, that we may be always moved to compassion by those who are in need, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are sick, especially Frank Rodriguez and Mary Reilly, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who have fallen asleep in the hope of rising again, especially Ed Maher, that they may find eternal peace and light in the presence of the Good Shepherd, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.